There's nowhere else I can run to. She's wretched, but she comforts me. After everyone goes home, she's always there for me. When the sun goes
from Studio 511, it's the 254th edition of Houston Wrestling Radio. This is Abel.
Wait. That's Mr. Abel now. Mr. Show him the ring. Show him the ring. Ain't it pretty? Ain't it pretty? For anybody that gets that reference, thank you very much. I worked all week on that.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I'm married.
You dumb fuck.
Yeah, that's something you don't like, apparently.
Hey, you gotta try it before we figure it out. You know?
Yeah, I gotta try a little bit of everything, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I'm married. Yay, that was fun. Thank you for coming.
Yeah, you should... I had to buy a new plunger that day.
You should thank her parents for that. Yeah.
Woo.
But, yeah, that was fun. It was awesome.
It's all weepy.
Yes, it was so weepy.
Weepy.
But yeah, a lot of food. A lot of food.
A lot of food. Tell, yeah, yeah. You're wearing the black to try to hide your fatness.
Yep. Trying to hide it.
Yeah, try a little harder.
Yeah.
Breathe through your nose. Suck it in. Your parents are always a delight.
Yes, yes, they are.
I forgot how much I miss them. I used to give your mom hell every time I would see her at an old PWA show. That she would true. Always tell me, Mijo, portate bien. And I'll tell her, fuck no. She's like, ah, oh, ya sé. And your old man, yeah, I'm wind up being like your old man.
Yeah, my old man, he's a little bit more low key. A little bit more low.
See, not low key, more like TJP.
See, I take a little bit more after my mom, I guess. I'm a little bit more, you know, louder, I guess.
A little?
Yeah. But I love my folks. They're good people.
Yeah.
So, how are you doing?
Was that your transition into 205?
I don't know. That wasn't really a transition. Okay. I don't know. I was just like, okay, this is getting awkward. This is getting weird now. But, if you want to be awkward and weird along with us, and if you are watching live on the YouTube, thank you so much, you could log into your YouTube app or, you know, your Google account or whatever, what have you, and you could chat along with us right here on the live chat. Live chat. Look, I already see we have somebody in here, Joe Hernandez. He says, fuck Bray as Abigail. We'll talk about that. So if you're watching this live, thanks. Comment along. Talk shit. Give us your opinions. Fact check us. Whatever. I'll see it. I'll try to involve you into the show, just like Mr. Joe Hernandez here.
Personally attacked.
You feel personally attacked? Aw. Apparently you personally attacked my newfound wife.
Had her for a while.
I've had her for a while, but not legally.
Well, common law.
I guess. Texas.
Texas. Everybody's anyway. Married to everybody.
But he does say congrats on your wedding. Thank you, Joe. But if you're not watching us live, that's okay. You can still interact with us on our Facebook page, facebook.com/Houston Wrestling Radio, or on Twitter @HWrestlingRadio, or just leave a comment right here in the old YouTube comments section. We see those every now and again. So, yeah.
So, by the way, celebrate with us 5 years. We've been doing this shit for 5 years. Well, me four. But
that's right, because it was pretty much around Randy and I's first anniversary when I was like, hey, let's do Houston Wrestling Radio. And then, we, you know.
Already wanted out of the relationship then, huh?
No idea. No, it's actually because of Randy, because on my birthday, which is 2 weeks prior, she Randy got me a microphone. Not this exact one, because the exact one that she got me broke. Thanks to you, you dick.
Everything.
You dropped it. He dropped the microphone. So this
makes you feel any better. I also dropped Travis's microphone.
You did. And you broke that one too.
It's his fault for having tile floor.
Dick. No, it's his fault for having you in his house.
No, it's your fault because you brought me into his house.
That's true.
And now I've never left.
I'm sorry, Travis. It was good seeing Travis at the wedding. I haven't seen him in so long.
Yeah, he needed some color, some complexion. I miss needed to get out guy. On the sun.
I miss Travis.
Yeah. Well, whenever you want to talk pop culture, there's always room for you over there.
I don't know shit about pop culture.
Fuck, man. You're the one with internet. You're the one with Netflix.
Everyone's got
internet. You're the one with YouPorn.
Everyone's got internet.
I don't have internet.
I have my own YouPorn account. Steal it.
You know, man, it's no excuse. We've been posting classic episodes all week, leading up to what could be, hopefully by the end of this week, our 50,000th download. Did you know that?
Really? I did not know that.
Well, because I've been doing a lot of the effort. Anybody that hasn't noticed, I have been editing the last month and a half's podcasts for the iTunes people, because we've been getting that a lot lately. Mm-hmm. Like, where's my iTunes? So I've been throwing it up on there, and we're
awesome.
And we're about 60 downloads shy of 50 grand.
Wow. So that's coming right up on a 5-year anniversary. That's mm-hmm. cool. Just had a 6-year anniversary. Randy celebrated that with a wedding. And then, boom, here we go. Another 5-10 years with both. That'd be awesome. Ryan is in the chat.
Mm.
What's up, Ryan? He says, evening, gents. Congrats. And then he said, what? You could read?
I yes, take it very well.
I can read. And then he said, hashtag that damn bell. Yeah, Ryan, right there. Right there, buddy. He's a good guy.
What do you want to start with tonight?
I don't know, man.
Let's get the little stuff out of the way first.
The little, so 205 Live?
Actually, I was going to say NXT.
Oh, okay.
Match of the week candidate?
Oh.
Eric Young versus Adam Cole?
That was fun.
Possibly.
Yeah. I, from NXT, actually match of the week candidate. Kind of like Lars Sullivan versus Oney Lorcan.
Ooh.
Which Lorcan? The only one we got. The only one we got. See? I like that.
Was fun, dude. Yeah.
Okay, give me the case for your match.
It's fucking Adam Cole.
Baby!
And for everything that you were afraid of and that I was afraid of, the camera panned right in, got him doing his pose, camera panned in right on the stage when they first came out, and they all chanted together. And in case you don't know what he's saying, it's written on his ass. So... we already, I don't know, during the promo, I still don't, from the beginning, I was like, man, the Undisputed Era sounds kind of stupid.
Because era is a measure of time, not a group of people.
Yeah. So, and that's man. And that falls on the complaint that I don't need to know that you've been wrestling forever. Like, you need to encapsulate yourself in your own space. But if it's just called the Undisputed, I'm all right with that. I don't know if they cleared it up with the promo, because they kind of sounded like it was a little bit of everything. But I'm liking the rivalry right now between Sanity and the three Ring of Honor guys.
Okay,
it's fun.
That's fair. That's fair. Even though I didn't like how it started, because it just started for no reason,
random.
But now that we're here, all right, let's enjoy it.
It feels like it started for no reason. But think about it. In hindsight, what's a Sanity? We still don't know what a Sanity is.
No,
they just showed up by doing the same shit that the Undisputed did. Mm. So they're playing Sanity at their own game.
Mm. Okay.
So I like it. I mean, okay. I'm curious to... It
sounds like you're making up a story for them, but okay.
A little bit.
Yeah.
Hey, six-man tag at TakeOver Houston. I'm all over that.
Okay.
So, but dude, Sullivan's got a look.
NXT TakeOver Houston. That's going to be a thing.
Still, yeah, even though the tickets still aren't on sale yet, and it's October. Porsche, you want to follow up on that?
It stinks.
Yeah, there you go.
She stole Travis's old line there. I hope everybody heard that in the chat. Yeah,
I'm sure. She's audible.
Yeah.
Yeah. 9 weeks away?
Something like that.
9 weeks away. Yeah. Still nothing. Zip. Nada. The square root of Jack.
Hold on. Randy's got something. Oh, excuse me. My wife has got something. Yes, I have to get used to that. Yes, wifey.
I emailed my contact with the Toyota Center, and they've yet to receive information from WWE.
Ooh. Okay, for those of you that didn't hear, she said that she emailed her contact at the Toyota Center, because, yes, She has a contact at the Toyota Center. And the Toyota Center has yet to get anything back from the WWE. So WWE's fucking up?
I don't know if it's fucking up. It's maybe WWE looking at the books and realizing that they have three shows that have probably been on sale for at least 6 months now, and they're not even halfway to sold out yet. Why are you going to try to squeeze money out of a fourth in a place that big?
Well, is there any house show or live event or anything that's happening between now and that big weekend? Because if there is, maybe they're saving the, like, oh, super special code or something for that, no? So they're at down
the fucking wire. It could have been a 1-2 punch of, oh, hey, part A, our tickets aren't selling so well. And part B, this town was feet underwater for weeks, and they're still reeling from it.
Oh, that's true, too. But, I mean, the tickets are all electronic, and they sell them, you know, everywhere. It's not like...
You're gonna spend $300 on four nights worth of wrestling, or you're gonna spend $300 putting a roof over your head.
Well, or sheetrock on your walls, or carpet under your feet. Yeah,
exactly. And the other thing, they can't sell out that place. We've been to NXT TakeOver at Revention, nice and cozy.
Well,
It might not be big enough for TakeOver though.
It could have been better at Revention. Yeah. The first time was terrible because the lighting was crap. But then you said that the second time was not as bad lighting wise.
Yeah, it didn't feel as bad. Y'all had better view down there on the floor. Reliant Arena, the one level floor.
Yeah, that's where NXT, or not NXT, TNA had a pay-per-view twice.
Once.
Yeah. Glory Road.
Victory Road.
Glory Road. What the hell?
You were somewhere on the floor.
I was.
I was somewhere in the first level, but it was. They couldn't even halfway sell it out, and their hometown dude was the main event.
I remember seeing Kevin Nash down the hallway, and a bunch of people were like around him trying to get autographs.
Oh, from TriStar. He's there on the house or whatever. Yeah. And he's like, I'm just getting paid to be here, but I'm not getting paid to do autographs, so fuck you.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. But yeah, Lars Sullivan.
Well, this isn't my first impression because we've seen him already a few times, but man, I love that match. Lars Sullivan and Oney Lorcan. It was kind of a little bit of that feeling of, damn, you're barely building up Oney Lorcan and you're going to throw him to the wolves with Lars like that quick. It's like, oh, man, that's going to kill his momentum. But, man, he looked good taking that ass whooping because he looked good at, like, giving it back. Mm-hmm. Like, Oney Lorcan is one tough motherfucker. Like, and I don't expect that out of many people nowadays from WWE. Either you're, like, the guy that's getting pushed to the moon, sometimes undeservedly, or you're the guy that's like jobbing out to everyone for no reason, you know? Either you're Roman Reigns or you're Bray Wyatt. There's no in between. You know, but Oney Lorcan, like, even though he got his ass kicked, I believed him that he could have beat Lars a couple of times there. So it was nice.
And they're setting up with Danny Burch now. Like, he came out for the save.
Danny Burch came out for the save, which they had already been teasing because of those two matches last month where, you know, they went back and forth, and at the end, the respect at the handshake at the end. I'm really digging them as a team, man. That's going to be cool. Yeah. What about Cassius Ohno versus that new guy?
You lost me at Cassius Ohno.
Well, I do want
to
say
the new guy was a Cruiserweight Classic guy that lost in the first round.
Dude, I like that. Yeah, Eichner or something. Yeah, I like that thing where he jumped up on the top rope and did a springboard to do a crossbody, and then Cassius kind of caught him, but not really. It was brutal.
How about Heavy Machinery?
Oh, man, they're just fun. They're fun. I always like Heavy Machinery. I just like them.
I missed them after their title shot. I was hoping that they would come be back on TV quick, but I could see the subtle changes they made. They cranked up Dozovic's character to like 12, and you could hear him like every 5 seconds. Or something audible that only he would say that you would hear and be like, oh, that's that crazy shit fucking Dozovic says. Dude, the compactor finisher looks gross.
That's cool, man.
In a good way, but yeah.
That is, ow, fucking love it.
Do we have a women's match in there somewhere?
No.
Okay. Yeah,
no?
I guess not.
Did we?
No.
No.
So, did they announce?
They announced that Kairi Sane is the first participant and that, oh yeah, that's why, because the next few weeks or whatever, we're going to determine three other participants for the new NXT Women's Championship.
Liv Morgan versus somebody.
Liv Morgan fought somebody. Well, you lost me at Liv Morgan.
No.
Yeah, I don't care about
that. Not to mention, apparently there's going to be something special planned for NXT Houston as far as a match goes. Regal said that backstage outside during some pretend interview where they held the microphones to their face and he talks. But, yeah.
Remember when we tried to do that for ROW and it didn't really work?
I wonder whose fault that was.
Was it your fault?
Yeah. I was asking weird questions like, why aren't you sending people to the moon? And all kinds of shit.
I don't know. I think it was whoever came up with the creative plans for that one. Us interviewing on the other side of the barricade.
I think we did a damn good job.
Well, we did a fan with what we had.
Yeah. Our microphone was this, basically, and nobody could tell.
No, because we had the other microphone, too. The
microphone, the old snowball.
And remember, I actually slapped Mom in the face with the cord? I'm sorry, Ma. I didn't mean it.
Oh, well, you're Randy's problem now.
Hey, that's true. That's true. It was, Vanessa Bourne. Thank you, Robert Medlin.
Vanessa Bourne.
Vanessa Bourne. Mm. Okay, and he says, Liv looks slightly improved. Okay, well, yeah.
Is slightly enough?
I still think she's a discount Carmella. So, I don't care. She's a great value brand Carmella.
You would have hurt her feelings if Jersey people had any.
Dang.
Is that it for NXT for the week?
Yes,
thank you. Now.
God damn it.
Speaking of something special from Houston, we, as much as I want to bust my nut over Lucha Underground, we're not talking about it this week.
Why is that?
Fucking four episodes. Ultima Lucha Tres is four episodes long.
And the last episode is 2 hours long.
God damn.
That's so, listen, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 5. 5 hours.
4.5. This first episode is only 35 minutes, so I'm guessing the second and the third might be like in the 35 to 40 range, and then you blow your load on the last one.
Okay.
So what we's going to do is we're going to wait till all four of them have been aired, and we're going to do one of those old things we used to do that we tried to come up with, you know, because we thought we were fun. So
the dark match.
Yes. We're going to watch all four of the episodes together in one binge, in one traditional pay-per-view style viewing.
Because that's essentially what it is. Yeah. It's supposed to be a pay-per-view, except they divide it out in over four segments because they only have an hour time slot.
Yeah.
So, you know what? That's stupid. Let's just, if it was a pay-per-view, watch all four episodes in one go.
And then after that, we'll huddle around the camera and the microphone, and we'll throw out a dark match.
Covering, an episode of Dark Match, yes.
Covering what could possibly be the last episode of Lucha Underground ever.
Ah! It's not the last episode of Lucha Underground ever.
The hell you say?
Well, thanks to people that do actual other podcast listing, not me, but other people in the house, such as Porsche. She listened to a thing that was, what was it, the director or the showrunner? Who was it?
The producer, Eric Van
Wagenen. Wagenen. Yeah.
Executive producer Eric something. Saying that, they're going to keep cranking out stuff, but they're kind of going to be along the lines of like Game of Thrones or Arrested Development. Well, they'll take little hiatuses in between here and there while I get shit together.
So they do that now.
So I know, right? So
this third season spanned over like what, 4 years?
Yeah.
Dude, so right off the bat,
mm-hmm.
If Ultimo Lucha Tres was a traditional pay per view, I would easily shell out $50 for this just on what I saw in the first episode. I hope I'm not setting the bar too high for you.
Yeah, I hope
we'll be watching the rest of this stuff. Well, you'll be watching the rest of this stuff in the next 3 weeks. You'll probably forget my opinion.
I need to clear something up a little bit in the chat here. I think they thought that my great value comment was in regards to Vanessa Bourne. No, it was in regards to Liv Morgan. Vanessa Bourne's fine.
I don't even know what Vanessa Bourne is yet.
I had no problem with her. She was in the match. She was fine. I liked her. I don't feel strongly either way about Vanessa Bourne. But no, that comment was for Liv Morgan. Then Morgan's the discount store, Carmella, the great value brand Carmella. All right. Yes. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we got NXT out of the way. We're giving our explanation for Lucha. Raw.
That was just silly. Okay. I'm sorry. Go.
How do you feel about Stan with Las Vegas?
The
NFL has their own controversy with the national anthem, and now, one of them.
Okay.
One of the things that we had on Raw was Stan with Vegas.
I'm 100% okay with it. If you recall back in 2001, after 9/11, WWE had a SmackDown on whatever it was, the recording. Was that still recording 14th. On Tuesday?
It was on Tuesday.
It was on that Tuesday.
So it was 9/11 that Tuesday that it happened.
And it was here. It was in Houston.
Yeah, Topac Center.
And it was the first,
moving it to the 14th.
Yeah, first big public 13th. Gathering. And Vinnie Mac went out there and cut this promo and, you know, got everybody fired up. And it was like, hell yeah, we're going to do this thing. And it made sense. So I don't have a problem with Raw and SmackDown both having all the wrestlers out there showing a little bit of respect and going out there standing and, you know, acknowledging the fact that this huge tragedy happened. Mm-hmm. I don't have any problem with that. I have no problem with people mixing their entertainment with politics. Like I don't think that we live in such a vacuum bubble-ish thing where we could compartmentalize. I can't even say that. Make compartments of. I don't know why I can't talk today. Make compartments of every little thing. Like, everything's fucking interconnected. We live in the world where, like, everything affects everything else. So, I mean, yeah, you should fucking acknowledge stuff if things are going on. You know, why not? I mean, it shows that you have a fucking heart, too. You know, it shows that, you know, you are... Sure, a worldwide company, but that's kind of tongue-in-cheek. You're really an American company. But when something big fucking happens in America, acknowledge it. And they acknowledged it. They didn't do anything bad or say involved in storyline or say anything disrespectful. Just had all the wrestlers out there, put up the thing on the Titantron, moment of silence, boom, that's it. That's all I needed. That didn't trigger me and say, oh, man, the memories. No, because... Going into the show, of course, we had the fucking memories. Going into the show, probably somebody else was watching the news or watching CNN, watching the latest coverage. So, like, oh, it's a reminder. Well, the week of, it just happened a couple of days ago. You're not going to forget. So, yeah, it happened. So, acknowledge it. Let's move on. In fact, it may have been in bad taste for them not to acknowledge it, I'd say. Yeah, so, that's kind of how I feel about that.
Okay.
What about you?
I completely agree. The okay. only... Because I've been hearing stuff online that there's certain segments of last Monday's Raw that are getting some attention and maybe seeing it the wrong way. Not so much the opening, you know, the terrorist attack and everything. Again, me being in the arena, that SmackDown episode after 9/11, you know.
Oh, you were?
I was there.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know you were there.
Yeah,
okay.
So I was actually there.
I wasn't.
Having this conversation a couple of weeks ago about... kneeling during the national anthem, or people having
a
big deal.
We talked about this last week.
Yeah, have a big deal about, oh, what's more disrespectful? Somebody quietly kneeling during the national anthem, or an audience booing through the national anthem.
Yeah.
So I understand that, but where I can understand some people seeing similarities would be during the Susan J. Coleman segment.
Oh, once I saw the Susan Coleman stuff come up, we just hit fucking fast forward. So what happened? I don't know.
So we had the Ultimate Warrior Award, right, for WrestleMania.
Right.
Everybody's heard me complain about Conor the Crusher back then. That's water under the bridge.
You go back and listen to those episodes.
Yeah, I'm not going to share that one on the memories. But so they got that award. They twisted it to whatever Warrior wanted to do in the first place. Whatever. Fine. Okay. So now, for Susan G. Komen, for this month, they're advertising, they have the Ultimate Warrior mask kind of like a symbol, like a mascot. It shows Unleash the Warrior, and it has Dana Warrior coming out and introducing the women and all this stuff, which, again, respect is due for anybody that could survive breast cancer. But do you really want to label it a charity event in order a sign of good gesture, label it under a mask of someone that, say, for example, it's on record giving a public speech in New Orleans saying that everybody from New Orleans was fat and lazy and they deserve to have Katrina wipe them out. Do you understand where I'm going with this?
People do tend to forget how much of a piece of shit the Ultimate Warrior was.
Yeah, and that WWE thinks that they can just rewrite history thinking that everyone has the attention span of a marble.
Yeah.
And not to mention, you know, brass tacks here, how much of the money that Susan G. Komen raises lately actually goes to any of that? How much of that goes to, like, fighting other companies that are preventing them from doing it so that they can keep their There's stuff afloat. You know what I mean?
That's another good point, because Susan B. Komen, even though it's like the most recognizable thing, and when people who don't really like look too closely at it, it just passes the eye test. Oh, WWE's doing something nice for people that have cancer. Mm-hmm. But like, if you really kind of start paying more attention to what the hell is going on with Susan B. Komen, it's like, man, I'd rather donate money to other charitable organizations that deal with breast cancer, because they're kind of like the Red Cross, where they're not for profit, but you know, come on, you know. And it's just like, damn, it kind of sucks, you know. And I think I remember, I don't, Stephanie McMahon was in an interview, and I can't remember if it was in regards to like the Conor the Crusher stuff or if it was in regards to the Susan B. Komen stuff. But she was in an interview, and the interviewer asked her something about like, oh, hey, you're doing this stuff, this charitable thing. And she says, oh yeah, it's really great for ratings. Okay, Steph, like, that's not the point. Like,
yeah, Dixie moment there.
Yeah, she kind of had a little dee-dee moment, and, like, I'm not willing to throw Stephanie under the bus and say, oh, I don't like Stephanie anymore.
No, but gently laid her there.
Yeah, I was like,
she's there. She's waiting.
It's like, okay, Steph, come on, you know, let's have a little bit more tact than that. I mean, sure, all this stuff is a thinly veiled publicity stunt, but you could still have a heart about the thinly veiled publicity shit that you're doing. So I don't know.
So what's more egregious? A company using a false title like the Ultimate Warrior to glorify breast cancer awareness, or someone viewing the show and actually fast forwarding it?
Well, I don't give a fuck about the students becoming.
You're stuff living with two women. You're gonna say you don't care about that stuff?
No, it's not that.
You need a lot of practice as a married man.
No. Listen, I'm not saying I don't give a fuck about breast cancer. Yeah, breast cancer sucks, but I don't care about what WWE is doing with Susan B. Komen.
G. Komen.
Whatever. Her.
At least
that organization.
The Conor the Crusher stuff and the Jimmy V. Fund. You know, that feels like something that's more organic, that it feels like it comes across as doing a big service to the cause. The month with the Susan G. Komen, it just feels like two corporate entities just patting each other on the back.
Yeah, and that's kind of just what it feels like. It feels a little disingenuous. Yeah. But let's get into the chat right here, because there was some stuff that was pertinent to all that we just talked about. Ryan says, it's not politics. It's them showing respect and compassion for such a horrific event. That, yeah, he said it way better than I could have in two sentences than I did in, like, fucking a whole rant.
You want to take his place?
Yeah, there you go. That's just get rid of me. Then Poor Sitting on the Couch in the live chat says, it doesn't help that Ultimate Warrior was misogynistic and homophobic as well. Robert Mendland says, I'm surprised Warrior's homophobic rants didn't get him the Hulk Hogan exile treatment. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good point. You know, I mean, Ultimate Warrior was a piece of shit.
And it's funny that people still sided with him.
I still have my fucking Warrior print up there, so I guess that's
what does that make you?
It makes me a piece of shit,
supporter.
I guess. Yes, wait, go hold on. What's going on?
Tickets go on sale October 13th. At 10 a.m.
For NXT?
Yes.
NXT TakeOver War Games.
Holy shit! Yes!
War Games.
Yes!
War Games.
Yes, yes, Y-E-S, yes. For anyone that is not a fucking millennial, WCW War Games was a 4-on-4 team with two rings surrounded by a huge fat-ass Prego Hell in a Cell cage. And by one, everybody started coming out until the last man, and then that's when the pinfall started. Oh, my God!
Hold on, Marky McMarkerson over here. Do we know that that's actually what's going to happen? Are they just calling it War Games because they just came up with the name? Or is this actually going to be, like, fucking War Games? Do we know?
This is a network special.
You gave us this info. Anybody in the live chat, give us the info. What the hell?
Dude!
Is this fake news?
Triple H tweeted it.
Triple H tweeted it?
That's legit, bro.
Whatever is going on NXT tonight will explain it.
Okay. Okay.
Fire up those classic War Games episodes.
Let's wait until they actually say whether or not we're going to have like actual War Games match. All right. but the other really important piece of information there was
the article.
Okay, hold on. You said when did they go on sale? The 13th?
Yes.
The 13th
Central.
The 13th of this month, 10 a.m. Central.
Next Friday.
It references the original NWA War Game in 1987 and the fact that there's a battle between teams fought in two rings enclosed by a steel cage. So.
Well, it says it referenced it. It didn't say that that's what we're going to have.
The War Game's name was made famous in sports entertainment as one of the premier match types in the NWA and later WCW, nicknamed the Match Beyond. War Games was a battle between two teams that was fought in two rings enclosed by a steel cage.
Yeah, that's telling us what it was and what it's in reference to, but it's not saying that that match is going to happen. Not yet, anyway. I'm trying to be cautious.
There are still one more set of NXT episode tapings that are supposed to happen in a couple of weeks in Florida. That's supposed to be the go home tapings before TakeOver Houston. So that makes I bet that gets old man Travis out of the house.
That might. That might. Good old man Travis.
So speaking of War Games.
It's
actually, not speaking of
deadly game.
Actually, not speaking
no. That's
of
a, that's a different pay per view. Yeah.
Thumbs up or thumbs down on the impending arrival of Sister Abigail.
That's a big thumbs down for me. Portia's over there celebrating, dancing around right now on the couch because of this news. But that's what she was doing when it happened. What I did. Because I was over in the kitchen cleaning some dishes, I saw it happen. I walked out of the kitchen in front of the TV. There happened to be a pillow and a blanket in front of me. I grabbed the pillow and blanket, and I threw it down on the ground and went back to watching dishes. Sister Abigail was dead. She's dead. But then Bray said, oh, she's not dead. Oh, like, okay, well, then I guess you could argue and say that ascribes to my rule of, well, hey, if it's on TV and they fix it and they explain it, then it's okay. Because Bray Wyatt himself did say, well, she was dead, but she's not. So, okay, maybe it's all in his head kind of thing. Okay, whatever, but I still think it's kind of stupid. You need to do a little bit more to bring me around to it. And then the fucking fade to black and he turned into a fucking Ninja Turtle croc, killer croc thing. I don't know, whatever. A fucking zombie. Like, okay, that's a nice little Snapchat filter you put on his face there. But come on, man. Like, seriously, that's not gonna do it for me. But there was plenty of nice fan conspiracy theories roaming around the internet today and the day before. So I think that's what I want to get to. Joe Hernandez, I don't know if he's still in the chat. He hasn't commented since the beginning of the show, but that's what we want to kick off the show with. You know, what was his exact quote? Let me see if I can bring it back up again. He said, fuck Bray as Abigail. Okay, so, Chris, before we get to that, what say you, sir? Am I off my rocker? Are you agreeing with Porsche? Do you have something completely different?
I want to give a fuck about Bray Wyatt.
Okay.
I want to.
Okay.
Really.
I feel a butt coming on.
I'm actually masochistically optimistic because I know every time that I've gotten optimistic with Bray, it's like a gut punch in the balls with like Thanos' Infinity Gauntlet, mm-hmm. You know, like it hurts. But goddamn, I want to like Bray. You give Bray the heavyweight title for fuck's sake over John Cena just for him to lose it in the next month to Randy Orton. You had this awesome potential with Finn Balor, but you started the rivalry when both of them were probably at their least popular. And now, after this whole time of, oh, she's been dead, the whole premise of this character and his associate characters is that she's dead. And now they're teasing that Bray, that Sister Abigail's still exists. I should be ashamed of myself because I should know what's coming. You know, if you look at his headlights, you know which direction it's coming. You know, so
what direction is that?
Right over me. Like it's gonna run me over and leave me in a bunch of disappointment. Because that's pretty much been this entire Bray thing. It's been a huge disappointment. You know, from the second he won the title, it's been all pretty much downhill. The only thing I can come up with as a legitimate like plot device to get this story to go is when the whole Bray Randy feud was going on and Bray went to like the house and was like bathing in the ashes and the dirt of Sister Abigail. Maybe like that was a symbiote that soaked up. That's how he has a part of her in him.
A symbiote. Okay.
That's how he has some of her inner. Like I would like to see a different attitude, a different moveset, a different personality altogether. I don't want to see fucking Bray Wyatt in like this triple XL corset though. Like dressed up like a gothic stripper.
Well, okay, hold on. Let's back up a little bit here. Are you saying that the obvious fan theory is what you think is actually going to happen? You're going with that Bray is Sister Abigail, and we're going to have Bray and Drag show up and wrestle against Finn, and he's going to be Sister Abigail because he's got mental issues and he thinks he's hurt. Mm-hmm. Okay, so then the other fan theory is, they're going to pull up one of these Mae Young Classic girls and put them in a dress and get rid of their name that it was in the Mae Young Classic. And hey, that's Sister Abigail. That's been Sister Abigail all along. You finally get to meet her. Here's Santana, Sister Abigail Garrett. You don't think that's happening?
We have the network, right?
Yeah, we have the network.
We have fake Scott Hall. We have fake Kevin Nash. We have fake Undertaker. Like, do you really want to dig that up again and bring up a fake character when we know, for example, Santana Garrett could be probably the best women's wrestler on Raw right now? If you just throw her on the roster, for fuck's sake, just please do it already. Instead of just throwing this crazy storyline that probably in 6 months nobody's going to really remember that it even existed.
Okay.
Like, I'm still waiting for Jason Jordan to not be fucking Kurt Angle's kid anymore. Don't throw me another fucking bullshit, fake-ass Maury storyline in this.
I still don't mind that one. But, dude, this is professional wrestling. It's male soap opera. It's soap opera with testosterone because it's cheesy-ass storylines and it's produced every week, so they produce it on the budget so they don't shine it up as nice as you would a movie or something.
No, you know what the worst part of the whole thing will be? They'll make this huge effort to actually try to make this somewhat interesting just for Bray Wyatt at TLC to lose, or Sister Abigail to lose to Finn Balor, and all that's for what?
Okay, now how about this other fan theory? Not necessarily, somebody else that we haven't seen before just gets put in the Sister Abigail role, and that's who Sister Abigail is and always will be. But what about the other fan theory that he kidnapped somebody and, like, brainwashed them? Like, I don't know. Well, in the chat, I think somebody said Dana. Was that Robert that said Dana? Yeah, it was Robert. Said Dana Brooke. Kidnapped Dana Brooke, brainwashed her, and all of a sudden now Dana Brooke thinks that she's Sister Abigail. Is that any better or worse than it being one of the other girls from, like, the Mae Young Classic and they're debuting them? And if they explain it as that, that's Dana Brooke. No, it's not. She thinks she's Dana Brooke, but she's really Sister Abigail.
If it's explained that, for example, it is Dana Brooke and Bray's the only one that believes that this is Sister Abigail, and everybody else acknowledges that, holy shit, what the hell is this dude doing kidnapping Dana Brooke? That could be intriguing.
Okay.
Maybe. Time will tell, but so far, at least it's got people talking. And when's the last time, other than Bray winning the title, has he had people talking about his character?
Not very well. No. He had people talking with the Randy Orton feud. Mm-hmm. Before it went to the House of Horrors, once Randy Orton went on to the side of the Wyatt family,
that was fun.
That was fun. That was good. Yeah. That was the last good thing. And it wasn't that long ago. Was it last year? I want to say that I want to be like you and say that I'll be masochistically optimistic, but man, dude, I don't know. I've been fed too many turds by WWE to me to take another bite at something that looks like it could be a turd.
Spoken like a true chef.
Yeah. Yes. Let me get to some more stuff in here. Cause there was a lot more going on. I barely kept up with it. Robert Medlin, I think something happened on tonight's NXT that might foreshadow that setup. Oh, I'm sorry. That's probably about the war game stuff. And then he brought up the Dana Brooke thing, and Porsche on the couch says, I actually rather him kidnap Bailey. And then Robert Medlin says, why not Becky, Finn's ex? Which I don't think she's really Finn's ex, but okay. But yeah, okay, Bailey.
Please make me care about Bayley.
I don't want it to be Bayley because I don't think Bayley has the acting chops to pull it off.
It's easy. Just don't emote.
Just shut up and you'll be perfect. Just don't say anything. Leave it all to Mikazi to dress you up nice, but just shut up.
Whatever they dress her up when can't be any worse than the leggings that she wears right now that has an arrow pointing right to her asshole.
Yeah. Oh, I might want to see Bray as a gothic stripper. Okay. That of course, was Porsche.
I thought I was fucked up.
That was Porsche. Of course. You have fucked up friends. Because you're fucked up. I'm trying to and we're just that like
so
you.
Long.
All right. And it says, Ryan says, Bray has an alter ego like Finn, except that alter ego, I guess, is Sister Abigail? I mean, that could work. I mean, wasn't there a movie where that happened?
Split?
There was a movie. I can't think of the title. But there was a movie where...
Split? It just recently came out. M. Night Shyamalan?
No, I'm thinking older. There was, like, some older movie where this guy, he was, like, a serial killer, but he, like, dressed up in a dress and was like, I'm her, and, like, would go around and stab people or some shit.
Talented Mr. Ripley?
Sounds like it. Maybe? Okay, yeah, that
there
could have been it.
Episode of Criminal Minds.
There was an episode of Criminal Minds? I believe that. Because fucking Law and Order, they do all that shit.
We ended the show again.
Well, hold on. You're going to like this one. Ryan says, I hate to say it. I agree with Chris. He agrees with you.
Don't. 2 weeks in a row. Oh, no.
Last one.
Sure?
Yes, Porsche. Looking hard at Abigail.
That side eye. It's funny. I was just.
I've been looking hard at JoJo.
On the way, before I got here, I had some time to kill at my apartment. And I was watching the old episode of. I have the first season of Fresh Prince of Bel Air.
Okay.
I saw the episode where Will Smith. Jazz introduces Will to Jazz's sister, and it's Vivica Fox, and she's all nice in the beginning, and as soon as they start making out, then, like, the brain goes into full, like, bitch mode, and she goes, yo, don't be looking at nobody else than you and me. Save your charm for the girl on your arm. Hello? That's Bray, right there, with the whole Sister Abigail. Oh. Just, like, all demonic and shit. Hello?
Yes. Yes.
We ended 2 weeks in a row with the cruiserweights.
Yes,
thumbs up or thumbs down? Explain yourself.
Well, I'm kind of up. Okay? And that's what something? She said. Hi.
Well, it's been a few days.
Mm-hmm.
Bet you're worn out.
Ugh.
I've never seen you drink water that fast.
You wouldn't believe. I got a second one down here I'm going to work on, too.
Fuck.
Yeah.
Congrats, Randy. Yeah. The overspraying of Febreze kind of.
Yes.
Yeah, kind of gave it away. It worked. I appreciate that.
Yes.
Yeah. I'll have asparagus on Sunday.
The reason why I'm not sure if I'm a full thumbs up on this is because lately WWE, and I said this a few weeks ago, WWE hasn't been treating the end of the third hour as though it is the main event. The main event comes at the end of the second hour, and it's been like that for weeks.
Ever since football started. What a coincidence.
Yeah, maybe even a couple weeks before football started, where it's like, oh, shit. Roman versus Braun on the end of hour two? Oh, okay. All right. You know, so while I want to be, hell yeah, thumbs up, this cruiserweight stuff's great. Yeah, put it on the end. Give it the respect it needs. I think this is WWE's subversion of itself saying that, all right, yeah, we know the main event's the main event, but we got to, you know, put stuff in the second hour. That's where our money is. That's where our bread gets buttered in the end of the second hour.
They realize that's how far wrestling fans' attention span lasts.
Yeah, exactly. So they're
so they're literally burying the cruiserweights again, two nights in a row.
If they were really like saying that, hey man, the cruiserweights and this storyline is main event worthy, and the main event still felt like the main event at the end of 3 hours, then I'd be like, fuck yeah, thumbs up. But right now, I'm kind of a shaky thumbs up because I don't know if the end of the third hour of Raw is what WWE considers the main event. But let's just assume that it is. Okay, let's just assume that the status quo is the status quo, okay? And the main event is the last thing you see on the telly. Last thing I see on the telly for 2 weeks in a row, cruiserweights. Enzo going out there. And you know what? I said this last week. It was my fucking flaming hot take that Enzo is this generation's The Rock. And yeah, I can already feel people groaning at me. I see that look, and
look. I'll help you. You can even hear it. Ugh.
Thank you. Did you ever see The Rock stand in the middle of the ring and roast one by one an entire fucking division of like 10 to 13 people and had fucking good things, like, and I don't mean good like complimentary, but like badass roast, badass burns for each and every one of those people and just go rattle them off one after the other. Dude, that was impressive from just a talking standpoint. Like, damn, I can't believe he actually pulled that off without stumbling and fumbling or having one like suck. And damn, the fact that they're letting him do it and the fact that it's making sense of the storyline. Dude, I fucking love all of it. All of it. And then I was like, all right, man, you got to Neville. He said what he had to say to Neville. Okay, cool. Kurt's got to come out. Something's got to happen. You have the pressure and this little pressure cooker already built all the way up. You got to open the damn thing and see what you got in there. Come on. You got to do it. It's time. That's when Kurt comes out. I'm like, all right. My theory was that Kurt was going to be like, if you don't have anybody to challenge, then we can't have that. I got to lift the sanctions and have at it, Neville. Or I'll have a battle royal and whoever wins and it'll be Neville or some shit like that. No, he threw a curve at me, which was, I didn't see it coming. Hey, nah, yeah, all that stuff applies to them. So you're right. And I was playing ball with you. But not, that does not apply to this guy. And then we finally get Kalisto in the fucking cruiserweight division. And I am 10 times happy about that. Oh, man, I'm so glad we finally get Kalisto in there. We've been having real good stuff with, before Enzo, real good stuff with Tozawa, real good stuff with Gallagher and TJP and Neville himself. But, man, this entire time I've been thinking, man, what the fuck, man? You can't have Kalisto in there. Man, that sucks. And whenever he lost that match to bring the Cruisers over to SmackDown and this and that, I was like, man, this is fucking stupid, man. He should have won that. And now he didn't win it, and he's just stuck floundering around, not doing anything. It's like, nah, he's in it. He's in the main event. He's challenging the top guy at the hottest the division's ever been. Dude, this is exactly where Kalisto should be, and I'm fucking so happy that he's going to be the one to whip Enzo's ass, and I want Enzo's ass to get kicked. As much as I like him because I hate him. So,
already that, yeah, optimistic,
I'm
huh?
already that optimistic about it. Yes, sir.
I was not excited on Monday. I was a little bit more excited on Tuesday.
Okay, why?
Monday. That god-awful song of his. Ugh.
Oh, that.
And then, like, that Marilyn Manson, like, under-eye black stuff that he has. It just, and he had this, like, he has this shitty-looking beard like my shitty-looking beard. Like, it just didn't work. And then yesterday, his music goes back to normal.
Yes.
He gets rid of all that crap under his eye.
Yes.
He shaved his fucking face.
Yep.
And he was actually pretty competent on the microphone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm optimistic now than I was 24 hours before when the reveal first happened. Because I was thinking, man, we need something different. I brought this up last week. Like, there hasn't really been a change of pace in this division other than Gallagher going heel.
Yeah.
We need something different. And I was thinking something completely different. I was still hoping somebody from NXT.
Okay.
Oni, Birch, Itami, Gargano. You know, because this isn't the first time that we've had somebody from NXT show up on WWE television, yet they still do their NXT stuff to finish up whatever the fuck they're doing over there and then come full-time. So I was thinking it was like half the NXT roster would have been capable of showing up that night.
Okay.
So when I saw Kalisto, I was like, But really? now I'm opening up a little more. Now I'm not gonna go that far with you.
Okay.
I don't think Kalisto's enough. I think we've literally seen the same faces on this division for a while. We need more. Like, we need at least one more guy.
Kalisto,
like,
is a new face on the division.
No, he's not a new face to WWE television.
Okay.
You know, if you would have paid attention to that Snoop Dogg video where he was actually in it, I was like, you know what? I think it might be Kalisto that's coming out. And then Grand Metalik, your runner-up from the fucking Cruiserweight Classic tournament, barely shows up. And even then, like, did he even wrestle last night on 205 Live?
No.
No, exactly. So, okay, we need another new permanent face. Like, not a good guy, but just another person on the roster to liven up, to freshen the whole clique, the whole group.
Yeah.
So hopefully before the year's over, we get it. I don't think Kalisto's beating Enzo. Right now, I would rather pay money to boo Enzo than to cheer Kalisto.
That's fair.
About that?
That's fair.
Bring me somebody that I would pay to cheer as opposed to pay to boo.
Going back to Tuesday. Okay, cool. On 205, you know, you start with Kalisto in the ring, and he's starting to do his little good guy thing, which one thing that I did appreciate is that when he didn't Rey Mysterio it. Where Rey Mysterio, he'll say something in Spanish and then immediately say what he said in English. Well, no, Kalisto went out there, said something in Spanish, and then said something completely different in English. I was like, oh, okay, cool.
Like the whole conversation, he was flipping on the sap button.
Yeah, exactly. And he didn't sound like he didn't know how to talk. He sounded like WWE has never given him a chance to let him talk.
More importantly, he didn't sound like he mouthfucked a helium balloon. Rey Mysterio's biggest problem when he was heavyweight champion at that time, that promo, where he sounded so tough because he had the belt but sounded like this. No. I didn't get that vibe with Kalisto.
Oh, goddamn. Okay, yes, that too, I guess. God damn it. But the Enzo came out, interrupted him, and I was like, fuck, man, I wanted to hear what this dude had to say. And then I was like, reaction I'm supposed to be having. Good job, WWE. You're pissing me off. Way to go. But pissing me off in the good way. And then when Enzo went out there and he just started saying everything that he is supposed to say, he makes so much more sense now as a heel than what he did as a babyface, because he's always just talking about the haters. And now the haters are the fans. And he hasn't really changed himself that much. It's just that the way he is, like, and it even makes sense in his own brain. Like, he becomes champ, now people are hating him. So he's not, like, you know what, fuck you guys. So it's not like a complete one. Oh, I'm a good guy today, I'm a bad guy the next. You know, like, it makes sense.
The best part is he's even believing it himself, because yes, he's telling people, I'm a good guy, I'm a nice guy. Bitch, you an asshole. The fact that he's reassuring himself when he's telling me that I'm a nice guy, you're making me boo you even more. Damn, you're awesome.
Those same haters are the ones that come up to me asking for autographs, and I give it to them. I give it to them because I give the people what they want. Like, oh my God, that's so good. He is a babyface who's a heel, who's a heel, who's a babyface. Like, it makes so much sense.
It reminds me, I didn't watch a lot of it, but towards the beginning, I love, this reminds me of, like, the heel Bo Dallas from NXT when he was champion, where he thought he was the greatest thing since John Cena, but knowing that he thinks he's the coolest thing and everybody else thought he was a pile of flaming shit.
Right.
But he still believes it so much in himself that it's entertaining, that you want to watch and you want to go and boo him.
There's another thing that he said where he wasn't exactly what WWE normally does, where it was a cowardly thing. And I wish I could come up with the exact words, but I can't. But he had the opportunity to be like, all right, we'll see ya. And he did it. He was like, okay, I'm here and I'm hurting, but I'm still here. And, you know, I think it was when Kalisto was, like, calling him out on, like, he kicked him in the balls. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's what it was. He kicked him in the balls instead of, like, the regular heel thing. Oh, I don't know that the footage was whatever, just doing some bullshit. Like, he looked at it, backed up, pretended like he was kicking a football and did the it's good. And he's like, hey, a win's a win. It doesn't matter if you win by an inch or a mile. I was like, he's fucking owning it. That's fucking awesome. And, like, he wasn't just being your typical cowardly heel, which is what you would expect this guy to be, and he's not. And it's just, it leads up to his delusionalness a little bit. It's kind of cool.
Do you want to talk about either the tag match with the Good Brothers and Matt and Jason Jordan, or do you want to talk about Nia Jax and Mickie James? Do you want to talk about the tag match again with Sasha and Bayley against Emma and Alicia Fox?
You tell me.
I don't want to talk about any of that. Normally, I'd get here early enough and we run down every single thing that happened on Raw, SmackDown, NXT, and if we don't want to talk about it, we cut it. We didn't get a chance to do that today, so
I'm basically
from Raw that we haven't touched on that matters is, are you ready?
Yes. I'm ready. I'm ready for you to say whatever it is you're going to say.
Are you ready for the Shield to reunite?
Oh, okay. I was just about to say, I'm ready for you to fucking spit it out. That's what I'm
There is a right and wrong answer to this.
I don't know. No.
That's the right answer for 500.
I mean, I don't know. Like, I want to be ready for it. And that pop. Okay, we talked about the cruiserweights ending the show. The last image that we actually saw was Roman in the back, looking all beat up, undoing the tape on his arms, and then the other two, Seth and Dean, come out, right? Okay, cool. That was a nice little visual to end the show. But, man, that pop, the pop that you heard in the arena, everybody was marking out for it. And I was like, oh, man, I want to mark out. But I'm like, okay, yeah, I guess this is what we're getting. And I don't know, man.
You know why?
Why? Is it the Roman stink?
Because you're not as dumb as you look.
Oh.
You know what they're fucking trying to do to you. The only way you're going to cheer Roman is if he's with the group. And they're going to try their damnedest. They have been trying their damnedest for over 2 years to make Roman the next guy. And it's failed miserably. Miserably. And the only thing that can even be an ounce of removal of the Roman stink is to bring back the Shield, the collective. And to try to get some kind of goodwill built towards Roman Reigns so that eventually you will somehow swallow it and not die when Roman goes over Lesnar and becomes, again, WWE champion, Universal champion at WrestleMania.
Okay.
Yeah. But you're smarter than that because you know where this road is going.
Yeah. I think the other reason why I'm not excited for it is because I don't want them to be reunited for a real flimsy reason. And right now the reason seems kind of flimsy. Like, okay, you have the entourage or the misturage, sorry. And all right, cool. Well, those three don't look like that they are threatening enough to just Ambrose and Rollins that they need Roman's help. Okay, well, fine. If they're not a big enough a threat, though, let's get rid of the two chumps and switch in Cesaro. Okay, why the hell is Cesaro giving a fuck about The Miz, and why are they being surrogates when The Miz has a perfectly good Miztourage that he's already verbally blowjobbed all over the fucking show for the last couple of weeks? Now he's going to say, you guys sit on the bench. I got the real studs here now. Like, that's fucking disrespectful to his own character and his own stable that he's leading. Like, it doesn't make any fucking sense. It's like, I don't know, Evolution saying, hey, Orton, Batista, you guys sit this one out. It's going to be me and The Rock and fucking Triple H, or I don't know, Stone Cold or something. It's like, what? Like, no, bullshit, man. You're part of this team. It's like, oh, man, I really don't like it. I don't like the booking of it. And maybe it's because of that other side of who you're going up against. This is coming from a Miz mark, too. I fucking love the Miz.
I have one shred of optimism.
A shred? A
shred.
A titch?
Yeah.
Just a little?
Just, yeah.
Un chiquito.
Out of those six guys,
yeah,
which one has not been heavyweight champion? See if you can do the math.
All right. Without any help. All right. Miz has, Cesaro has. No, Cesaro has not. Cesaro.
Exactly.
Okay, so?
I'm hoping this doesn't just bury. I'm hoping that this isn't just something to uplift Roman Reigns or the Shield specifically, because I think all three have gotten boring. I'm hoping that this is the test run for where maybe next summer when Roman Reigns is Universal Champion, maybe his second title defense or his third title defense on a Raw pay-per-view, give Cesaro a shot. Roman Reigns versus against Cesaro. You pick who you're going to cheer for. You pick who you're going to boo. Whether it's storyline or just flat out, maybe Cesaro's time is now. No pun intended.
Okay.
But other than that, I have very little, a very minimal interest in this entire feud. Because it's obvious, dude. Shield's going over.
Yeah, I don't see Miz and Cesaro being cohesive of a unit enough to take out the Shield that was fucking booked to be the most dominant thing of for like what 3 years from 2012 to 2015.
Is it a waste of time to have the Shield together reunite just for one match?
Yeah.
Now
I agree with you. Now yeah, on it's the not the right time.
On the opposite side, is there a three-man team worthy of having the Shield being together from now till at least the build for WrestleMania?
No.
So it's the whole thing's pointless.
It's flimsy. Like I said, it's fucking flimsy. Unless you had more time building up Bo and McGillicuddy, Axel. Mm-hmm. Unless you had more time building up those two as being like a credible threat as a unit with the Miz. Because right now it's like Vince and the Stooges. You know, I mean, yeah, Miz is way much better than Vince as far as the ring goes, but it's like...
But not Briscoe.
Right. But, I mean, Miz is the good wrestler. He's the one that kicks the ass. He's the one that actually is Intercontinental Champion for good reason.
I suddenly want Chex for some reason.
Well, it's because somebody over there is eating Chex.
Work on the sponsorship.
Right here.
Okay.
Don't let her distract you with her feminine wiles. Eating a cereal all sexy-like. She's mine!
But she's not the only one over there.
This says so. She ain't doing nothing.
Hell in a Cell's this Sunday.
Yep.
What a transition. What a transition.
Hold on. There was some going on in the chat.
Clear out the chat room, because we're going to...
All right, let's see here. Yeah, trying to get people to cheer Roman is futile. That's Porsche. Yeah, makes sense. Robert Menlin. Or is a Mickey so old gimmick pretty dumb? Yeah, considering that she's still younger than AJ and Brock Lesnar and is only 2 years older than Finn. Good fucking point.
Yeah. And it's 2017. At some point, you'd rather have a MILF than just another youngin' that don't know what she's doing.
True.
What? Fucking Mickey, dude.
I mean,
poor fucking Mickey.
I'm a married spud.
She left the WWE, she was being messed up as Piggy James, and Piggy everybody James. Picking on her. And now they're picking on her because she's too old.
What the fuck?
Be a star, right?
Yeah, be a star. So yeah, there goes our women's division talk. All right. Ryan says we may not like the reunion, but that spot was awesome. What spot? What spot are you talking about, Ryan? Was there a spot?
The ending shot. The
landing. Oh, just them standing together. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I guess. Shield triple threat at Rumble. Okay. Yeah.
Again.
We had them in the same match before. It was pretty good.
Okay. You're trying to get people to cheer Roman.
or. Shield versus Brock in a fatal four-way.
Again, you're trying to get the people to cheer Roman. Who's going to cheer Roman in a fatal four-way? By the way,
hold on. Oh, go ahead. Finish.
Who wants to see another fatal four-way where Brock Lesnar is going to get laid out 5 minutes in, then he's going to come back after he's had his coffee and finish the whole thing and leave with the belt again?
Yeah. So you said that there wasn't a dominant trio to take on the Shield, right?
Oh, fuck. Don't do this to me.
You're forgetting about somebody.
The Shield against the fucking Cruiserweight division. No. I get it. Yeah. I get it.
Oh, Christopher. Don't you dare be sour.
It's funny. He's not really moving. He's just been jiggling for the last hour and a half.
And New Day versus Shield. Why not? They're actually – that's probably the only – hey, that's probably the only trio that has reputation enough that, you know, they could be a threat to Shield.
Kofi's hurt, so he can't wrestle.
Well, yeah, but I'm still – conceptually, man, they're the only guys that I would think that's a trio that would be cohesive enough to
take out the Shield. Let me bring this message home one more time in case anyone in the chat room hasn't noticed.
Uh-huh.
You're trying to get people to cheer for Roman Reigns. Who is going to cheer for Roman Reigns when you put them opposite the New Day?
That's a good point.
Done. Hell in a Cell. this Sunday.
All right, Hell in a Cell this Sunday. Okay, we're going to do our regular old rundown. Okay, so what's the first match you got?
Right at the very top. False Count Anywhere, Hell in a Cell?
The fuck?
Shane versus Kevin Owens. What's your anticipation level?
The fuck?
That's not a number.
What? Okay. My anticipation level was going to be maybe 6. And that's mostly because of Kevin Owens. I don't want to see Kevin Owens versus Shane because I don't want to see Shane wrestle. I've bemoaned that enough every time Shane's actually had a match over the last year. So I'm not going to like harp on that too much. This is a Hell in a Cell match.
What's the point of the Hell in a Cell?
To keep everybody outside for outside interference and to keep the two competitors that have a fucking blood feud inside. To keep everybody in and keep the little fuckers out. That's the point. The whole point. Points.
Number.
Number.
What's your anticipation level?
Now, that brought it down like a fucking 4. Because it's a Hell in a Cell. But you're going to make a false count anywhere. So then why not just fucking tell me that they're going to escape the cell? It's a Hell in a Cell match where the door is wide open the entire time. Then what the fuck is the point of the cell? It's stupid. It's stupid. I need Travis here. No, sir, I don't like it. It's dumb. Then you know what? Fuck it. I'm down to 2. You convinced me. 2.
I didn't say shit.
I convinced myself.
Didn't we have this conversation last year that, or 2 years ago, that Shane McMahon, them showing the highlight reel of Shane McMahon jumping off of God's living, of everything that God created, was pretty much a red herring that he was going to jump, do something fucking crazy at Hell in a Cell in Dallas, at WrestleMania. You know, so same way, it's like, okay, Kevin Owens is going to powerbomb Shane off the, oh my God, he said he's going to powerbomb Shane off the top, and when Shane wakes up, he's not going to memorize the name because of his kids. I was like, shit. The storyline has been surprisingly good for me. Like, I've liked the story. It's been plausible. I understand why Shane McMahon wants to kill Kevin Owens 5 times before he hits the ground. Like, I understand it. It makes sense. At sometimes it gets dramatic or I want to watch. Like, I was like, Shane, sit the fuck down and take your ass beating and save it for Sunday. But no, he came back and kept getting more and kept getting more. I was like, that's the guy that you want to cheer for. But God damn, you're making it a fucking joke when you're just, yeah, we're gonna have a retirement match, except you're not really gonna retire because you'll be back the next day on the other brand. Like, no. You know, it's like the Fight Forever stuff, you're never gonna fight again, and then 3 months later we're getting fucking Kevin Owens against fucking Sami Zayn on SmackDown. Which is the only other thing that I'm intrigued about.
How bad was that though, that Sami Zayn came up to Shane on SmackDown backstage, was like, oh, you don't understand. He's a really bad man. He ruined my career, and he hurt my feelings, and I'm just a broken man now because of him. Please be careful. Please be careful. He gonna do you bad. Like, shut up, Sammy. You're such a freaking sissy now.
2 words. Stockholm Syndrome. Sammy is going to be interesting.
Yes!
Sammy is going to be interesting by turning heel and partnering up with Kevin Owens. The way Shane put him on check after Sammy told him that, dude, I had a gut feeling that Sammy's turning heel in this storyline. And he's siding with Kevin Owens.
Okay.
And we're getting Shane and Vince against Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn.
No, or fuck it, Shane and Triple H.
Either way. But dude, I'm at a 5.
Remember,
storylines up here, the whole concept of a cage, but the door is going to be unlocked, so you don't have to break through shit. You can go wherever. It's like, oh, okay, I brought it all the way down. So it's a 5.
Okay. Remember when I was saying, I think this was last year, that I'm just waiting for Triple H and Seth, all this fucking mini bosses that Seth has to go through. I don't care. Please, just get it over with. Fuck, Seth, I don't care about Seth versus so-and-so, please, just get me to Seth versus Triple H. And we got Seth versus Triple H, and I was like, okay, yeah, that was fine. That's kind of how I feel about this. Like, get me to fucking Kevin Owens versus Triple H already. Like, I don't give a flying fuck about Shane. Like, all right, Shane, yeah, he's mad. Okay, I get it, he's mad. Oh, yeah, but like, please, Kevin, just dispatch of this guy real quickly. You know, the story is good. I agree with you. The story makes sense. I agree with you. But the ends, they don't match up, because the end of it all is that, oh, it's going to lead to Shane McMahon trying to pretend to wrestle and then jumping off of something and breaking his back. Like, okay, let's just have Kevin Owens throw him off the side of something before you even do a match, and that pisses off Triple H, and then Triple H shows up, and that leads to a match with Trips and KO. Mm-hmm. Okay? Like, that's, yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I want.
So who you got winning?
Kevin Owens.
Agreed.
Kevin Owens is going to fucking kill Shane, because Shane may have killed himself. Like, Kevin Owens probably climbed up to the top and went, and off the side of the fucking Hell in a Cell. That's what's going to happen.
So obviously Shane and Owens is being billed as the main event of this. What match do you want to see the most? That's going
to
be the
match. I don't know. We're going to have to go through the card here, because I don't even know what the fuck's on the card.
Well, disappointment number 47 is, regardless of the train wreck of the storyline with Nakamura and Jinder Mahal,
okay,
I was expecting Nakamura and Jinder to be inside the Hell in a Cell just to keep the Singh brothers out, because we've already had this story at SummerSlam. Hell, I was there and I saw it in person. I was expecting something different, and it's not.
The Singh brothers didn't stay out during the Punjabi Prison match.
Yeah.
So what would make you think that they'd stay out in Hell in a Cell match?
Nakamura can cuff them both to the walls or something. I don't know.
Okay.
But no, this match is not.
Nakamura's into some kinky shit.
So Nakamura versus Jinder in a regular match. In a regular rematch for the WWE title.
How good was the match, the first one? Not that good. The rematch might be a little bit better. The same way how Nakamura versus Corbin 1 was the drizzling shits. Nakamura versus Corbin 2 was
a little more solid. The shits came out solid.
Yeah, but there were still the shits. So,
same thing with Ziggler.
So, like, man, I hate to say this about Jinder, because I've been like,
I want
Jinder.
You want him to succeed. I want to love him.
I don't care. So, 4.
Fuck. I was there for Nakamura's debut. I was there for Nakamura's first WWE Championship match. I'm the one that got this group into watching New Japan on the show.
Yeah.
I am at a 4. And it's not fucking Nakamura. I'm at a 4. Like, it's, I'm ready for this entire experiment to be done. Either throw Nakamura in the U.S. title run against AJ Styles, maybe, or do something with Jinder. But this Nakamura versus Jinder, it's gone. The build-up the first time wasn't that bad.
Yeah.
From SummerSlam to now, it's been worse. Horrid. I can't stomach it anymore. It has to die.
The thing about it, too, is that with Nakamura, what you have is a really, really, really awesome professional wrestler. Somebody that could put on badass matches and keep the American audience entertained when the American audience has no idea what the fuck is going on New Japan, but they tune in and they're like, I like what happens between the bells when that guy's in the ring.
I like singing his song when he comes out.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I don't need to know a whole lot about a Nakamura match to be excited for a Nakamura match. But that's not what they're doing here. They're not showcasing what this guy can do in the ring, how charismatic his moves and his music are, and just how much of a duck he is. No, they're trying to take a scripted storyline with promos and talking and this and that, all this like typical WWE type stuff, and shoehorn it into this guy that doesn't speak the language. You know, so he can't speak the language, let alone act in the language. You know, and it's just not coming off right. And then when you have on the other side of that feud being Jinder, who's obviously not wanting to do what he's doing and is forcing himself, and the Singh brothers are fucking fake laughing and they're terrible at it. Like, everything just sounds bad. The story is bad. Since the story is bad, the two actors who aren't that great at acting are acting it out poorly. And the story is just fucking crap. And then, like, okay, well, maybe the redeeming quality would be the match itself. Well, on one guy, I have the faith in Nakamura. The other guy, I don't have the faith in Jinder. And I wish I did, but I don't.
Oh, yeah, I wouldn't.
To stop the bleeding, please, Nakamura. Just give it to Nakamura. Let him have real feuds with that he can... that he could be showcasing his own talents in. He's the king of strong style. Fucking bill him as the king of strong style. Go in there like how they fucking handled him in NXT. How they handled Asuka in NXT, where she does all her talking in the fucking ring. The same way like you fucking do with Lesnar. Lesnar does his talking in the ring. Or have Heyman do talking for him. Get him a fucking mouthpiece. You know, but like have him be that badass guy in the ring. Instead of keeping him out of the ring for fucking all this build, 3-4 weeks, however it's been, throw him in there with some jobbers, throw him in there with some mid-carders and have him decimate them. Oh man, he took out, you know, the likes of Ziggler and I don't know, Corbin and so and so and so and so. Man, he must be ready for Jinder. Okay, cool. You know? But nah, they have him trying to, I don't know. What did he say? Sticks and stones break bones. Like, dude, if we're gonna give WWE shit for suffering succotash, son, then we gotta give WWE shit for them feeding the lines of Nakamura,
making it blatantly obvious he doesn't know English.
Exactly. Yeah. Like you fed him kindergartner lines. The sticks and stones will break my bones. Like, oh, dude, that was just terrible. So, yeah, there you go.
I'm on the same wavelength as you. I want the bleeding to stop, but it's not going to stop if Nakamura wins because that just means a contractual obligation for rematch. Give it to Jinder. Have him win a 4-on-4 team match at Survivor Series, and somebody in that Survivor Series team match pins Jinder, and that sets up Jinder's next opponent for whatever the pay-per-view in December is.
All right.
Leading up to Royal Rumble. But, yeah... And it sucks, man, because I wanted to see Nakamura prosper so bad. But right now, it's just disappointing.
All right, let's get some of the chat in here. Dat Pro, what's up, man? It's nice seeing you. He's the guy that would always log on from the other side of the world, from Australia.
Oh!
To WrestleThon. So yeah. What's up? It's nice seeing you joining us live here for HWR. Thank you.
What time is it over there?
Yeah, what time is it? It must be. Is it really late or really early?
I think it's really early.
Yeah, something like that. Ryan says for Jinder Nakamura, I'm at a 3. Dat Pro, or well, WWE Pro, he says, the laughter is why I'm dead inside. That fake laughter. Yeah, that makes sense. Porsche sitting on the couch says, the storyline is bad and they should feel bad too. Nice little Futurama reference there. I appreciate that. Oh, he said it's 1:22 in the afternoon over there.
Nice.
In the afternoon. So, yeah.
I know where I'm spending my next vacation.
In Australia?
Probably.
Because it's 1:22 in the afternoon?
Right now.
Right
yeah,
now?
Sure.
It probably won't Australia, be that same I've been, time.
I've had a lot of friends that have been over there, and they have nothing but positive things to say about that place.
Yeah.
Yeah, I might have to detour from Japan and go to Australia instead.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, there's not a place to crash.
There you go.
Just tell me where you're at. Sydney, Melbourne. We'll figure it out.
Yeah.
You got any more?
Let's see here. Robert Medlin says, did Triple H's India visit seal the deal that Jinder is retaining? Triple H went to India?
It goes everywhere.
Is that still going to be? I mean, come on.
You know what? I'm going to continue with the Futurama.
Please no.
I'm going to continue with the Futurama references.
Okay.
Good news, everyone!
Oh, yes, please, some good news.
Fashion Police.
Yeah!
Was supposed to come back last night. Somebody in creative actually had some sense. Mm-hmm. Save it for the pay-per-view. You want to see the Fashion Police? $9.95 plus tax. $10.80 in American. So, Fashion Police returns. I don't know what the fuck they're going to do.
But they're going to be there.
And the best part is, they're not pre-show!
Anticipation, though, for the Fashion Files making an appearance.
On this card, it's a 10. It needs it. I hate to say that, but already, with the WWE title match and the Hell in a Cell that should be the main event, it needs a picker-upper.
For me, since I don't know what they're doing, and they could just be in a backstage segment, and then that's it, I'm going to be at an 8, but that's just because I'm being a little cautious. little cautious, just an 8, because they could just be like, hey, we're here. Bye, thanks, we're here. And that's it.
That's it.
You know, like,
I would rather see that than the pre-show match. Hype Bros against Benji Gable.
Our friend from Australia here says, well, we could probably find a nice place for you to stay.
Hey!
They're very hospitable down there.
Yeah.
The land down under. Right. What did you say?
Benji, I would rather watch the Fashion Police just wave their hands in the ring for 30 seconds than to watch Benjamin and Gable wrestle against the Hype Bros in the pre-show. What's your anticipation for the pre-show?
7.
We already got this match, didn't we? On SmackDown 2 weeks ago?
Yes.
4.
Yes.
1 for each person.
Can I be a little optimistic?
Sure.
A little? If this leads to more teasing of a heel turn from either Ryder or Mojo, yeah, I'm going to be down for that. I like Gable and Benjamin as a team. I want to see them have a little bit of growing pains, you know, like the way how Gable had growing pains with Jordan. Okay, come on, say the name. And like Gable just be fucking annoying about it. And like Shelton, same thing, being fucking annoyed by Gable, but Gable having to try to win him over. Like, there could be some stuff there. There could be something there. So yeah, sure, we've seen the match before, but I think the match itself could be decent enough to where I'm entertained and I'm interested in the story. So yeah, 7. I got the Hype Bros losing.
So do I.
To create more friction.
What could be the show stealer?
Mm-hmm.
Usos versus the New Day inside Hell in a Cell.
Hold on. This could be another show stealer. Robert Medlin says, for the Fashion Police, I'm betting Authors of Pain debut. Ding! Yes. Oh, man. That'd be cool. I'd mark out for that. Yeah.
I knew you were a friend for a reason.
Yes. All right.
Usos versus the New Day inside. Assuming it's just inside, because you know, fucking falls kind of anywhere.
Right.
Hell in a Cell. I am at a fucking 10.
10.
Yes. D.
And for this match. Explain
for yourself. Everything that I've missed, I've ignored every single one of you that listen or watch this show for 2 months in a row that are telling me that Dean and Seth against Cesaro are stealing the show in these pay-per-views. For everything I've ignored on y'all for that, dude, every pay-per-view since the Usos and the New Day have been put on the SmackDown brand, they have fucking delivered.
Okay.
And now you're going to put a tag team inside the Hell in a Cell? There's only been, what, 2 tag team matches ever inside a Hell in a Cell?
Really?
2.
I'll allow it. Now, okay, if it's a tag team match inside Hell in a Cell, I have some questions. Are they going to do it tornado rules, or are you still going to have to tag?
That's a good question.
It has to be tag because
one of the Hell in a Cell matches was specifically a tornado match. So they specifically named it in the stipulation. So,
well, but if it's Hell in a Cell and there's no DQ, no rules, no whatever, then why the fuck, like, what are you gonna do for not tagging me? Disqualify me?
Regardless, I'm good. Fuck, I'm a 10.
Okay. Well, that's why I'm not quite at a 10.
Mm.
I would be at an 8.
Okay, that's still high for your standards.
Even with all those questions, okay, be at an 8. Oh, the other question is, okay, does that mean all 3 members of the New Day are going to be there or not? I mean, we know Kofi's injured. Okay, is he still injured? If he wasn't injured, would he be in there? Would it be a 3-on-2 situation? Or are they trying to keep one of the members out? You know, are they trying to keep Kofi out? Does that mean Kofi's going to run in? And you know, I don't know. The logistics kind of bothers me a little bit. But even then, it would still be at an 8. If it wasn't for the fact that you already bastardized the fucking Hell in a Cell stipulation by making the other Hell in a Cell match false count anywhere. So you know what that means? That false count anywhere match, that's where they're going to break out of the cell. This match, they're not going to break out of the cell. This match, you know, is going to stay in the cell. And that's it. So you know what? This match has the potential of them not using the cell at all. This match has the potential of them just being standing on the ring apron, one tag, one in, out, in, you may as well not even have the fucking cell. It could just be a regular match. That has the potential, because if they want to save all the shenanigans shit of leaving the cell, climbing the cell, going outside, da-da-da-da-da. If you're going to save that for the Kevin Owens, Shane McMahon match, you're not going to want to waste it on Usos versus New Day, because you don't want to double book the same fucking spots.
I have someone out of those four guys.
I'm down to a seven because of it.
I've got one of those guys, not necessarily climbing out of the cell, but climbing inside the cell to the top and then monkey barring to the center and just elbow drop from the top of the cage.
That could be cool.
You know, some of the best. Remember, dude, not every Hell in a Cell match involves somebody breaking through it and the thing happening from the outside. A lot of shit has happened on the insides of Hell in a Cells that are very ugly.
Yes.
And I'm just going basically off of what the Usos and New Day have given me so far. And you're going to give them a nice, shiny metal jungle gym to play in? Okay, mm-hmm. I'm at a 10. Especially when everyone's going to suffer because every seat's going to be obstructed view.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I have
the Usos. You got the Usos?
Yeah. It's weird. Like, I'm at the point right now where I can see them go maybe one more match. Maybe two. Depending on how this Hell in a Cell match ends up.
I've lost track. Who has the titles right now?
New Day.
New Day have the titles.
Yeah.
Is this match the rematch, technically? Because New Day beat the Usos. Mm-hmm. So this is their obligated rematch.
Mm-hmm.
Damn. I want to say, just booking-wise, just say that, nah, the champs are going to keep it. But I kind of feel the same way how you do, where I don't think I mind if they have another obligated rematch because the title changed hands. So you know what? Let's go with the Usos.
Yeah. All right.
Okay. If Nakamura doesn't win that match and all of the promo for it is a waste. Yeah, I agree. That was our friend from Australia there, Mr. Pro.
Booby Rude.
Booby Rude.
Against Dolph Ziggler.
Those boobies are glorious.
Did you like their stuff on SmackDown?
No.
Apparently Ziggler's got a surprise entrance for Sunday.
Yeah. I
just do fucking CM Punk already, please.
Is it obvious that he's just going to do Bobby's entrance? You're gonna hear the piano and the fucking glorious, and you see the guy in the robe with the glorious robe on the little turnstile thing, and it turns around and it's Ziggler.
That's gonna happen on SmackDown if Ziggler goes over on Bobby Roode.
I think that's gonna happen at the pay-per-view.
You think so?
I think that's the something special.
Okay.
He's gonna, because it's been a thing where he's been doing it, but like for other people that don't really matter, you know, whatever, this and that. And nobody's calling it out on it. So this time, it's like a straight disrespect to his opponent, you know. And his opponent, the whole storyline is that, oh, I need a fancy, a fancy entrance to get over. And now it's like, oh, yeah, you need a fancy, you know what, I'm going to do that better than you. And then just to create heat. I think that's what he's going to do.
What's your anticipation?
Well, my anticipation for the scene what Ziggler's entrance is probably at like a 6. My anticipation for the match is probably at a 0. So if you do the math, it's a 6. Well, 0 plus 6 is 6.
You really don't like Bobby Roode.
I don't like Bobby Roode. This incarnation of Ziggler, I'm like, okay, cool. I think it's more about story because I already know he could go in the ring. The match itself might be pretty good, but like, okay, let's see where it goes.
Who you got winning?
Bobby Roode.
I'm at about a 6 for this match.
Booby Roode, sorry.
I've got Ziggler winning. I don't think this is the last time we're seeing these two.
Okay. Ziggler will come out of Samoa Joe. Yeah, because PTSD gets Roode. At first I was like, yeah, so why Joe? Oh, because Joe PTSD with Reed. Yeah, that'll work.
Charlotte Flair against Natalya for the women's title.
Woo! I want to see Natalya keep it. I'm going to be at about an 8. That's a very, very optimistic 8.
Oh, yeah, I'm at a 5.
Oh, really? Okay. I want to see Natalya have a longer than one defense run. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to see Charlotte with the belt again. I need to have Charlotte not have a belt for a little bit longer while than it's been so far. I've been enjoying the time that Charlotte hasn't had a belt. But also within that time, I wanted her to develop a different facet of her character. I'm not saying that I don't like her as she is now. I'm just saying I want WWE to add another layer. And just slapping another title on her is not adding that other layer.
What I want is about a six-month span from now of no more Natty and Carmella teaming against Becky and Becky and Charlotte.
Okay.
Because we've gotten that for like 3 weeks already. Like, it's no. I wouldn't mind seeing Charlotte team up with Naomi, or Charlotte team up with somebody else. Or maybe if somebody had enough common sense back there, put Charlotte team up with Asuka and slowly build a feud between those two while they team.
Well, but Asuka's going to...
I know, because they don't know what the fuck they're doing back there. But, yeah, I'm at a 5 for this, dude. I hope this isn't Natty's only title defense. You know how they're going to fuck us? They're gonna have Natty go over on Charlotte again by submission, just so we got the one defense from Natty, and then Carmella cashes in.
Okay.
But who do you have winning?
Natty. I want Natty to win. I think Natty should win. I think they're going to let her win. Okay, that begs the question. Are we going to see a cash-in from Carmella that night?
I hope not.
You hope not?
No.
Okay. This is Hell in a Cell. Is there a stipulation on this match, or is this just straight up one-on-one?
Straight up.
If there was a stipulation on this match, I'd say that would increase the odds of Carmella cashing in. But since there's not, I don't think we're going to see a Carmella cash in. What about – are we going to see Carmella at all? Is Ellsworth doing anything? Are they, you know
– I want to see S&M Ellsworth.
Okay.
Rusev versus Orton.
What Ellsworth needs to do is have a dog collar match.
With Carmella. For the women's title.
Oh, God. No, 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 no. Okay, I'm sorry. Rusev versus Orton.
Yeah. What's your anticipation level, Sparky?
Handsome Rusev. Get it right. Handsome Rusev. Handsome Rusev, I'm very happy to see. I want to see more of Handsome Rusev all the time. Orton, not so much. This feud, not so much. I'm not digging
really?
The feud. I'm not digging the feud yet. I dig what they're doing with Rusev. I dig that they gave him Made in English. He's singing for him, and he has this stuff. Like, that's cool. All of that is nice character development, but that's not a storyline right now. The storyline's kind of meh, whatever. So I'm gonna go with the bottom of 6. I wish I was higher. I really do, because Handsome Rusev. But 6. And I think Orton's going to win from out of nowhere to piss off Rusev even more.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Another solid 5. I've got Rusev winning this. I don't know. There's something missing in this. It just feels weird. I don't know. Maybe it's because of Orton. Oh, shit. You chat people. We could have been gone an hour ago.
The stipulation for Ellsworth match will be a submission match. You get it?
I've been getting in a long time. At least not like that. How about we end this on a high note?
Oh, Lord.
Against Baron Corbin for the United States Championship.
About 8?
You've been digging Corbin lately, huh? Or is that all AJ?
That's a lot, AJ. I was digging Corbin a little bit more when he won Money in the Bank before going into Money in the Bank. After Money in the Bank, I don't know if the rumors of his backstage heat are true, and that's why he dropped the fucking briefcase and why he's not pushed as hard as we thought he was being pushed anymore. But I dug him a little bit then. Now he's definitely on the downswing. I don't really dig his new entrance music, but yeah. Okay. I mean, I think he can have a good match with AJ. I think AJ could pull a good match out of him.
Yeah.
We'll see. United States title, I think AJ's going to keep it. I don't see him dropping it to Corbin just yet. So, yeah. What about you?
I think I'm at an 8-2. I think I'm coming around on Corbin. Sometimes higher than not, but I'm at an 8. I don't know if I want the belt off of AJ yet, though.
True.
You know, as far as champions – you have to have a champion that has clout. And right now, Mahal's lost all of it. I don't think Nakamura has much to work with AJ right now. It's his brand,
all right,
I think. So, and I've got AJ winning this.
Well,
still.
Robert says Corbin needs some serious rebuilding. Probably so. And I think they kind of tried to do that a little bit more with that new interest music. The thing is, with his new interest music – I'm glad that they gave him something new, and I'm glad that they gave him something that sounded a little less poppy and a little bit more metal-y, because, oh, Revolver said he's the most metal athlete.
You thought the Baron Corbin's old theme was poppy?
More poppy than the stuff he has now.
Okay.
But the thing that kills it for me is the druids singing
the lyrics in general. Like, I just heard recently that they added lyrics to his song, and I hate it. I liked his song before.
I mean, if they would just get right to the riff that is in that music, then yeah, I'd be cool with it. But that, like, that doesn't fit his character. Like, that would fit Aleister Black a little bit more. You know what? Switch Aleister's music and Corbin's music. Just flip-flop them.
No.
No?
Everything with Aleister Black is fine. Fuck Corbin.
Okay. Okay, fuck Corbin.
Fuck Corbin. I asked on our Facebook page what people were looking for the most. The match I'm looking forward to most.
Stop. What about Ty? Is Ty going to get added to this match? Is it going to be a triple threat? No.
They would have already done it by now.
No? So, they can't in the last minute? No? Do you want to see it happen? No. If they do? No?
No. Say that for later.
Okay. All right.
Aaron Garcia. The match he's looking forward to the most is Kevin Owens versus the WWE merch stand.
This is off of our Facebook page?
Yes.
Okay.
Daryl Hughes is looking forward to the New Day versus the Usos. They'll steal the show. And Xavier Woods is the most underrated wrestler on the roster.
That's fair. I don't know if I'd say that's 100% true, because there's a lot of underrated.
Does that count
people
as a hot take?
That counts as a hot take.
There we go. Hot take for the night.
Thanks, Dal Rule. That's a hot take.
Dylan Robert Howland. Part 3,
the third,
says Ellsworth versus the dog collar is the match he's looking forward to the most. Jeremy Borchert, the names of the production staff that'll match the names from last pay-per-view's production staff that shows up at the end of the pay-per-view because the pay-per-views have been on a steady decline.
That was
$5 for every time that you – yeah, try saying that five times fast.
Yeah,
good Lord.
Production staff.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Okay. So that's it. Overall, Hell in a Cell. This Sunday.
Six.
You're more looking forward to the potluck than the fucking pay-per-view, aren't you?
Yes. I don't know what I'll cook this time. I'll come up with something. Five?
Five.
That's half a 10.
Yeah, five.
That's not quite a 10. It's more like five.
It's weird. Like, I wasn't anticipating No Mercy as high as I thought I would, but there were still marquee matches that I would go back 6 months from now and
6 years.
6 years. Fuck that shit. 6 months from now and go back and say, you know what? I want to see that train wreck between Strowman and Lesnar. Or you know what? I want to see the reaction of everybody cheering Cena and booing Roman. This pay-per-view doesn't have any of that. Except the match, the match itself, New Day versus the Usos, is the only thing in the ring that I'm, oh my God, that I'm looking forward to. What?
Robert says Corbin wins and then we get a hair versus hair rematch.
Oh, no. No, that doesn't count, because technically Corbin's already lost if you look at his forehead. No. Take it from someone that knows.
Yes. No, Corbin, you know what? Corbin should get into a hair versus hair match sometime soon.
Corbin is the Kenny G of that roster, man. Doesn't matter if you're dragging your hair on the floor. Bitch, you is bald. You is bald. Fuck.
God damn.
Whew. That's it.
All right, so
this summarization.
This weekend, Come on out to DCW on Saturday night, the DCW HQ in Katy, Texas.
Yeah, think about that.
1812 Avenue D, Katy, Texas. So yeah, come on out. We're gonna have a show. Main event is Silky Baines versus Voodoo. So that's gonna be pretty cool. There's a little stuff going on here with Voodoo. It's been interesting. Yeah, we'll call it that. We'll call it interesting. Okay. Voodoo, guy with the face paint, talks to a skull, and like he speaks.
You mean that guy from Southpaw?
No, not quite him. That was two of them. It was Voo and Doo. This is one guy. His name is Voodoo.
Oh,
yeah.
So they did the fusion dance and combined to form the one guy.
Yeah, yeah.
Did they get it right? Like, is it in shape, or is it did they get it wrong and he's all like out of shape? You do remember the reference, right?
Don't shut up. So so come out, support some good indie wrestling. Porsche, when's the next ROW stuff?
Also this Saturday.
Also this Saturday. For fuck's sake, why do we keep having shows on the same day?
So if you're in the west side, go to DZ Dub.
If you're
in the south side, just go to Steak and Shake, have a good meal, have a good shake, go home.
No, go to ROW. It's in Texas City. Inside Mall of the Mainland, there's a nice little
if arena you call thing. It a mall.
I think it's still referred to as Mall of the Mainland. Yeah. Mall of the Mainland.
Google. They have a Sears. That's it.
And a Stutz Garden. They have good burgers. And apparently good
beers. Is that the beer garden place?
Yeah.
Okay, I need to go there. Because I saw it. I went, was it last weekend?
They have over
to the theaters, $4 for whatever the theater.
30 different
on tap. So last Saturday. Was it last Saturday? I went to the movies at that theater.
Okay.
And a row in front of us, towards the side, there was some kids that got arrested for fucking.
Wait, what?
They were actually fucking in like three seats away from me. And the cops came like halfway through American Assassin, which is actually a pretty good movie. And they threw them out for actually having sexual intercourse in the theater.
What?
Like, come on. You see, that's the problem with millennials. With kids, what? They're so stupid. Rule number one, you're going to do what? The hanky-panky last row on the top. Come on, man. Act like you've done this shit before. Look. Don't you draw your diagram? Fucking kids.
Okay. Dat Pro gives a 7 out of 10 because some parts will be straight up shit. But he did say on a final note, congratulations, Abel. Thank you. And Randy. She's sitting over there.
But mostly Abel because he's the one on camera. And on that note.
Is
that it?
I think that's it. That's it. Please. Oh, well, yeah. Okay. After you're done on Saturday going to either ROW or DZW, come over to the potluck where we will watch said pay-per-view, said Hell in a Cell pay-per-view at the DZW HQ. Your fee for entry is just bring something to eat or drink. So go down to fucking Little Caesars, bring a hot and ready, or go down to Walmart, bring some chips or something, or some soda or whatever. That's all you gotta do. Just bring something to eat, then sit down and watch wrestling with all of us. And yeah, it's a good old fun time.
That's it, man. Let's get out of here.
Adios, my friends. Keep it classy.
I needed the Fanta because I was tired, dude. I was yawning through the last, like, 30 minutes. I couldn't do it anymore.
You know, Fanta doesn't have caffeine in it.
I know. That's why. I said, fuck. I got the wrong one. Or maybe this is the Saudi version. I didn't get
that. That's the Mexican version. Fuck.
That looked the same to me.
This idiot. Robert, Ryan, new guy Joe, Dat Pro, thanks for joining us. Appreciate it. Tell your friends.
Yeah, we'll try better to be on time next week. God, fuck. There's only two of us that we still take 2 hours. How is that possible?
Mm. You say a lot of stuff.
I say a lot of stuff.
Press the thing.
You're probably I'm waiting. I'm waiting for the Thrice concert where you're going to have to be here by yourself on Wednesday. You, by yourself. It's going to be fucking 3.5 hours long. I can feel it. It's coming. It's fucking coming.
You need a Coke and a Kit Kat.
Why? Am I not myself when I'm cranky?
I guess not.